Welcome to Comic Book Keepers, where we talk about comic book characters, their history, and their impact on our lives. I'm Lance, and today is a very special bonus episode of Comic Book Keepers. I had the privilege of sitting down with Jackson Lansing, Colin Kelly, and Eamon Winkle, who are the co-creators of The Principles of Necromancy. This is a comic book that is coming from Magma Comics. It is going to be essentially their flagship title, starting out as this new publisher in the scene, and they are really doing some amazing things, really caring about the creators. And The Principles of Necromancy, it is co-written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, and you've read their stuff. They write so many different books. Some highlights personally for me are that Batman One Bad Day Clayface issue, as well as their Batman Beyond series. I think Neo Year is absolutely fantastic. They have a great voice for Terry McGinnis, and that might come up again relatively soon. And as I mentioned before, the third co-creator of this title is Eamon Winkle. You'll recognize that name if you are regular listeners to the Comic Book Keepers, because Eamon came on when we covered Batman Red Rain. He is a phenomenal artist that is working on his first ongoing title. And what a title to start out with, working alongside Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. This trio have really put together something special. And this quick interview that we did on the floor of WonderCon is just a testament to how well this trio gets along and the fun that they are having bringing the story to life. And we'll get into why the story is so special for the three of them. I think that's enough of me talking. We all know why you're here to listen to this. We need to hear about The Principles of Necromancy. So let's jump right over to that interview. We're here at WonderCon 2024 with Jackson Lansing, Colin Kelly, and Eamon Winkle. We have their book, The Principles of Necromancy, which is coming out from Magma Comics, which is an insane premise of Dr. Eyes being this physician who is not trying to cure illnesses, but trying to cure death itself. For Jackson and Colin, this is your first creator-owned book in 8 years.
Yeah.
So how did this story start to develop, and how has it evolved over that time?
So it's in terms of the kind of publishing side of things, it's really exciting. We've known Denton Tipton, who's the editor-in-chief of Magma Comics, for quite a while. He's been talking to us about doing a book with him, but obviously I think everybody's always a little nervous about working with a new publisher. But the amazing thing was he respected that we were nervous, and he waited until his contracts were all in place and the company was absolutely solid and solvent before he said, okay guys, we're ready to play, and I want your weird shit. I want that stuff that no one else will publish. And we said, Denton, you are speaking our language.
Yeah, so it became effectively for us a chance to come in and do something new and weird and strange and exciting. And it started with this initial principle, as you said, which is, what if we hit a sort of Dark Souls-esque sort of FromSoft fantasy universe where no magic exists, where instead all of the horror comes from the fact that medicine is science, or is magic. That the mages of this universe are physicians, are doctors. So in our universe, we have the 20 doctors of the city hospital who are they're the people who, you see them coming, you cross the street. They are as likely to dissect you and take your body apart as they are to heal you. They are driven by one thing and one thing only, which is the pursuit of knowledge in their specific discipline. We said, how cool would it be to follow somebody in that who decided that his discipline was to invalidate all the other disciplines? You don't need gut health. You don't need an ear, nose, and throat doctor. You don't need a brain surgeon if you have immortality. And so what happens when somebody tries to create the principles of necromancy from scratch? And that's where Dr. Eyes came from. The structure of the book is designed so that in each issue, you're going to encounter Eyes from an outside perspective. In issue one, he encounters a barbarian tribe that he comes to and says, look, you guys are getting your asses absolutely destroyed. You're going to be annihilated within the day. What if I could tell you I could help you win this war? But only if, from here on out, it's doctor's orders. And what kind of monster can he create? What kind of miracle / terror can this guy create to fulfill his promise? But in issue two, It's a completely new perspective. In issue 2, you're going to see this from the perspective of a young girl who begins to idolize Eyes and wants to learn to be a doctor herself. And we start to investigate what being a doctor means for your soul. In 3, you're going to see it from the perspective of the city hospital, of those other doctors, as they witness and understand his heresy, right? Each issue is designed to give you a different perspective on this quite literally, this almost inaccessible character. His eyes are literally lenses, right?
They say that the eyes are the windows to the soul, right? But Dr. Eyes has covered his eyes in surgical lenses. So you literally do not know what is going on inside of him. So we ask the reader, as they are consuming this story, what do you think of this madman and his quest to cure the world?
And I think what's really brilliant about the final product of this book really comes down to Amen. Right? That at that point, we had to take this and put this into an artistic style that both highlighted all the stuff that we just talked about, but also gave you a way of accessing this character who seems so inherently inaccessible. And so working with Eamon, who genuinely, it was like a Twitter search, right? We put out a Twitter post that was like, we need somebody who's good at body horror and dark fantasy and wants to do some fucked up shit.
Hello.
And Eamon, yeah. And Eamon sent us 4 pieces and we were like, done. Like, that's the guy. And it's just been amazing watching him flourish as a sequential artist and start to figure out how to take this character who I think in the wrong hands would just be gruesome.
Right.
And instead find a way to make us care for him, even though we aren't hearing his internal monologue, you know? Which is, it's a real magic trick.
No, and it's been a lot of fun, because a good part of it is this is a very red book.
Yes.
And it's one of those the violence and the gruesomeness is part of the storytelling, not a let's shock the reader.
Right.
It's not a gimmick. It is a necessity in order to show in issue 1, for example, how serious the warfare of this barbarian tribe is and how desperate they are to accept Dr. Eyes's offer. They are at their wit's end. This is their last decision, and they have no other choice.
Yeah.
And being able to work with you guys and play on these ideas has just been an absolute blast, and I'm eternally grateful for it.
Eamon, so last WonderCon, I got to look through your portfolio, and it was chock full of these cover quality horror pieces. So when I heard about the premise of Principles of Necromancy, it made complete sense for you to go into the genre. How was it for you going from those cover quality, like, art pieces, masterpieces, really, to doing sequentials?
It was a lot of fun, and it has been a blast. It's getting to play with my favorite toys. The one thing is, like, when you're doing covers or, like, these, like, single quality pieces, you can take a lot of time, and you can it just has to be something eye-catching. I mean, that's the point of a cover, is you look at it and you go, ooh, this looks interesting, I want to read it. Whereas sequentials, it's basically, you have to get it done. You have a deadline. So you can't spend weeks on weeks on one image, but it's also, it has to flow naturally as a story. It has to look cool, but it's also like, I have to care about these characters to turn the page. And when you turn the page, there's something horrible on the other side of it.
I think that part of it, to me, is, I think, the thing that, you said it really earlier, right, that it's a red book, but it's not about shock.
Right.
It's about lean in. It's about, like, everything that Colin and I do, we use this sort of shorthand about, like, we strip back all the genre conventions, and we just try to say, like, if this didn't have any supernatural shit in it, if it was just something I had to put on, could I put it on in, like, a black box theater? And would it still work, right? We try to put all of our stories through that ringer. It doesn't always function, but, like, you try. And with this, it's very hard, because really at the end of the day, in order to sell what is going on with Eyes, and in order to sell the complicated nature of the ask that we're asking the reader to, which is evaluate this man based on available evidence, we have to show you the evidence. And the evidence can't be something that we could put on a black box stage. Like, the evidence is
the gruesome nature of his work.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to see the kind of, air quotes, courage it takes to absolutely take someone apart and say, I can do better than God.
Yeah, and that...
Right? Which is incredible hubris, but also is a kind of bravery.
look, we're not the first people to hit that, right? That's Frankenstein. It's an myth at this point, right? It's this concept of what it means for a human to step into the role of God and the hubris that that requires. So for us, what it was a chance to tell a Frankenstein story that was fundamentally divorced from the Frankenstein myth, right? A story that isn't about a man's relationship with his monster, but more a relationship with everyone, more about everyone else's relationship with this man capable of making monsters and what that dynamic plays. And it just creates a very different dynamic than what you expect out of a Frankenstein story, which felt really fresh to us.
And it also, I mean, going off of that, what Eyes is doing as a character is he is trying to do good.
Yeah.
He's trying to give people immortality so they don't have to deal with illness and death and all these horrible things. It's just the fine print in doing so isn't quite this beautiful thing that you would imagine. Like,
yeah.
In order to get to this immortality, he's going to do some weird things.
Yeah, you gotta break them eggs to make
an omelet.
Yes.
I was going to say, you can't make an omelet without desecrating a few corpses.
Yep. It's cracking a few eggs and then rebuilding those eggs.
In a horrible shadow of their former selves.
So, Jackson and Colin, you're the co-writers for this book.
Yeah.
And when I was doing a read, because I've been reading your work even more recently, knowing that this interview was going to be coming up.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And in doing research, I was reading through a few other interviews you did and learned that, Jackson, you had been a journalist for a while.
That was where I started.
And that led to you creating playlists for your project so the two of you could have the same vibe, tone, energy going into a story.
Yeah,
so 100%. I have to ask, what's the playlist for this twisted-ass comic?
So, I'll tell you, it's actually one of the only times when we've had divergent playlists.
Yep.
Because what I listen to on this, Colin can't fucking stand. I have to barrage my brain with some really weird shit. So for the first two issues, I was listening to a lot of... So for issue one, I would listen to a lot of Heilung, because of the Barbarian stuff. And then I was listening to a lot of the Midsummer soundtrack, like the Ari Aster Midsummer soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was really great. The issue with the Midsummer soundtrack is there's literally parts of it where you'll be like listening to it and then suddenly there'll just be a person screaming for like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of tough for me.
Yeah, and like Colin just like couldn't handle it. So eventually he was like, no, can we not do this? And he started listening
I'm listening to the Nick soundtrack, which is a little, it's the exact right mood, but has a lot of electronica, which doesn't make a lot of sense for the Barbarian hordes. I absolutely agree. Listen to Heilung as you mainline the first issue. But as you start to get into the city and see what the city doctors are all about, I recommend switching over to the Nick soundtrack.
Well, that was going to be my point, was what actually happened, and this is very rare for us because normally I'm the sort of music lead on our stuff just because that's where I live. He was right. We got to issue 3 and we put on the Nick. And I was like, oh, this is what this needs. Like, I understood who the city hospital doctors were. I understood how to write Mind, spoilers, because of the Nick soundtrack. That's now become the framework. So I think probably at some point we'll put together something of a cohesive, like, playlist soundtrack. But because this book changes vibes every issue, it's not the same as most of our work. We're like, the reason the playlist functions is because it gets us into that vibe. In this... every issue is a little different, and we really got to play in a different vibe and area each time.
Do you have your Guardians of the Galaxy playlist public?
Yes.
So, my guys, if you are, obviously, you know, we do these playlists. Guardians of the Galaxy, which we just wrapped up with Marvel, Jackson's playlist he put together for that is immaculate.
There's actually two of them. There's one that's the Guardians... it's called Desolation Mix, and it's there. It's the, like, because our Guardians was like a dark western. So with that, I did a version that's like the dark western version. But then, as the book pulled out of being a dark western and kind of became a superhero story at the end, we had this playlist that we developed back when we were developing the book before it was a western. That is it's basically the Guardians. I think it's called the Guardians in Spirit. Yeah, if you look at everything, you can find Guardians of the Galaxy, and you can find the Guardians in Spirit. Guardians in Spirit is a completely different playlist than our Guardians playlist, but they're both.
So read, listen to the first playlist when you read the first trade, and then as you pick up the second trade, switch over to the second playlist.
That's exactly,
and
right.
Y'all will have an incredible experience.
That's how I learned that Gamora is Avril Lavigne. I don't know why. I never knew that before I did that playlist, but it worked out.
something that I love that you brought up here, as well as at the panel that we had that you had yesterday, was about that tonal change with each issue.
Yeah.
So, Eamon, for you, when you're getting these scripts where the tone is absolutely changing, the perspective on how we're supposed to perceive Dr. Eyes is changing, how does that affect you and your flow of the art? And how do you have to kind of think about the way you approach the execution of those pieces?
Yeah, I mean, it is, each one has been completely different. I mean, when we were doing issue one with the Barbarians, it is very action-packed. There's a lot of sword and axes and people being chopped in half and big battles. And so the energy was really high. Whereas in issue two, it's very quiet. And it's more of a personal story between Eyes and this little girl who wants to kind of be his protege. And so it is kind of like figuring out, going from that high energy in one to making it like more emotional. And especially with a character like Eyes, who really can't show a lot of emotion, using the artwork to kind of show that in a different way. And that may be like making him more expressive in kind of his lower, like his mouth, or just his more of his body.
You do so much with posture.
Yeah, when she first encounters him in two, I think we had written, it's effectively like, you know, he comes to her house on a house call, and we'd written this issue, or we'd written this splash that was supposed to be just sort of like, you know, he's very stark in the doorway. And then we got the initial image from Eamon, and he's doing this like mad science, like pose.
I am here now.
Yeah. And it suddenly was like, oh no, because this is how she sees him, yep. Right? She has to view him as this much larger than life, like big figure. So his body language is gonna like build to do that. And the more that we get into it, especially whenever he puts on the helmet, right? He has this surgical mask that you'll see on issue one, on the cover, on Eamon's cover. That it almost looks like a whale skull. That surgical mask, whenever it's on, now the only way to play with him is with his body, because that thing gives him a rictus grin. It gives him this huge smile and these huge bulging eyes. He doesn't look human. He looks like something else. And so suddenly his body language is the only way that we can access him. And so it's been really lovely to see you like figure out how to push that body language.
There is a whole folder on my phone of reference photos of me in these various poses, which will never see the light of day.
Oh, but that's what you think, my guy. That's what bonus content. Everyone, buy 15 copies.
That's in the hardcover.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's photos of me doing these like Bela Lugosi like hand gestures, wearing a bed sheet to like figure out like how would a cloak fall, and It's been a blast. But yeah, 100%, like getting his body language, is that's how the character comes through. Yeah.
To wrap up, because you have another interview to go to, I have to ask, what were your initial reactions when you saw the first four pages from Eamon?
Fuck yeah.
And obviously, you know, as you mentioned before, he hadn't done interiors before. And we, air quotes, hired him, right, off the work of the masterful work that you were talking about for his covers. And we were like, Eamon, when this book is ready to go, can your chops be up to it? And that was us rolling the dice. We love working with new upcoming artists, but you never know when they might not be able to cut the mustard. And so seeing those first pages, we were just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, our instincts were spot on, hive mind.
Honestly, I think the first page that we saw was page like six, something like that. It was the barbarian battle splash.
Yeah.
This is the first time you see them in action, and there's just heads flying everywhere, and like it was like, oh, you didn't start on the simple page, you started on the barbarian battle. And getting to see that and seeing like, oh, got it, like the more complex, and that the layouts weren't boxy, they were, you were doing like, you were breaking out of layout already. It was a really great thing to see and be like, oh, got it, so he knows how to bend and shape this. So pretty early on, we knew we had something special. And now this is where the fun part comes in, right? Now every Wednesday we meet and we talk about the book and we see what he's doing. We talk about what we're doing. We give him previews. We talk about character concepts, and we figure it all out together so that every basically every issue and ideally every page is more tailored to what Eamon does, right? As the more that we figure out how to play jazz with him, the better the jazz gets. And that's really the goal for us on this book, is that by the end of it, it's singular. It has to be a book that only Eamon could have drawn, or why the hell are we doing this, right? That's any creator-owned book, but I think Principles is really living that talk.
I've had the opportunity to read Principles of Necromancy, and it is stunning. It's on my pull list. It needs to be on all of your pull lists as well. Is there any last thing you want to say about the series while we vibe to this music?
Yeah, we vibe it.
I told you, it's spooky, spooky jazz. There we go.
Only this, which is, I know that body horror isn't for everybody. I know that horror in general isn't for everybody. And I know that a lot of the fans who found us aren't going to have found us through horror. Most of the stuff that we've done, especially the last few years, has been very science fiction based. I hope people will take a chance on this, not because of the horror, but because of the character. Not because of the gross shock value nature of any of it, but because underneath that is a character story that has something to say that is universal about the way that we try to push past the limitations that people put on us. This isn't just a story about big, creepy kaiju monsters made of human bodies. This is a story about a person who refuses to let the world tell them what is possible. And I think that that part of it feels universal in a way that maybe all the crazy horror nonsense doesn't. And so even if this isn't your bag, I recommend checking out issue one just to see if it could be your bag. Because I'm not really a body horror person, and man, am I enjoying doing this book.
And if you're supporting, if you want to support indie comics, if you want to support stuff that is not, we love the big two. We love writing these awesome characters. But at the end of the day, comics only survive if you pick up the stuff that is passion projects of individuals. And Magma is an amazing creative space for creative original content.
Yeah.
It's Jack and I coming out with, you know, the thing that we are effectively absolutely in love with, and we're able to uplift Eamon into this position to show off to the world. So if you love supporting the kind of niche books that are only going to exist because of fans like y'all, please come by and give our gross story a bit of love.
All I can really add to that is I am just so grateful for the opportunity to be able to work on this book, on this creator-owned project with you guys that's been gestating for quite a while, and for you guys to take that chance on me and give me this opportunity.
It's
to
a joy.
Yeah, no, I mean, this, everybody asks me, like, when they see the pages, like, this must have been a lot of work, and honestly, it's never felt like work. It just is fun from beginning to end.
Really? Because you used to look like a young, fresh-faced fellow, and now you look ancient.
Every pen stroke that you see on this page is one more gray hair. So,
yeah.
Luckily, everybody, he's a silver fox.
Yes.
Principles of Necromancy is easily one of my favorite reads so far this year.
Oh, thank you.
Everybody, add it to your list. You will not be disappointed. There are panels and pages in this book, especially the double wide spreads, that are seared into my mind forever, and it will never go away.
I'm pretty sure we wrote in the script, Eamon, sear this into their minds forever so they never go away. So good.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Perfect. According to plan, then.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you all for sitting down with me. This was a blast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Once again, a massive thank you to Jackson Lansing, Colin Kelly, and Eamon Winkle for taking the time to sit down with me at WonderCon. The Principles of Necromancy is hitting store shelves on April 3rd, 2024. That's right, the day that you are listening to this, if you're listening to it on drop day, is the day the book has been released. Go to your local comic shop, see if it is on those comic shelves. If it is not, tell your local shop that you want them to order issue one. They can still do it, as well as adding it to your pull list so they continue to pull the next few issues of this series. And obviously, we want as many people to buy this book as possible so we can continue to get even more issues than are already planned. I have already read issue one. It is a fantastic read. If you haven't yet, be sure to also listen to the other episode that is dropping today, our WonderCon 2024 recap, which is only going to be part one. We did so many things at the con and talked way too much that we needed to split that into two episodes. One will be dropping the day you're listening to this, that Wednesday, and we're going to try and get the second part out within the same week. We hope you have enjoyed our WonderCon coverage. Hope you have enjoyed listening to this interview with Jackson, Colin, and Eamon. and you have my utmost gratitude if you go to your local shop and pick up The Principles of Necromancy number 1, as well as all subsequent issues. Please, go do it. It's amazing. I need more. It's time to close the book on this interview with Jackson Lansing, Colin Kelly, and Eamon Winkle. So until next time, this is Lance, reminding you to keep your friends close, but your comic books closer.